This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Later this hour, we're using the midway point of National Nurses Week to discuss the impacts of the nursing shortage, both nationwide and right here in Southwest Florida. But first, as sea surface temperatures have risen over the years, so have the frequency of what are called coral bleaching events. What happens is when water gets too warm, corals expel the algae living in their tissues, causing them to turn completely white. This doesn't necessarily kill the corals, but does put them under tremendous stress. This is a global phenomenon affecting everything from the Great Barrier Reef in Australia to coral reefs off the coast of Florida. And reefs are vitally important, not just ecologically, but economically. On today's show, we're going to learn about a disease called white plague that is devastating local corals. Researchers aren't exactly sure what causes it, but they are seeing outbreaks following bleaching events. My guest is Dr. William Precht. He's a coral reef ecologist and director of marine and coastal programs for Dial, Cordy & Associates. They're a Florida-based ecological consulting firm. He's been studying coral reefs in Florida for decades. Dr. Precht, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having me.
And out there, have you seen coral bleaching yourself or white plague up close? Or maybe you just have a comment or question for us today. Either way, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. The number's 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So for starters, how long have you been studying corals yourself?
Well, I started as a senior in my undergraduate years in 1978 down in Discovery Bay, Jamaica, and I've been studying coral reefs ever since around the Caribbean and around the world. So actually, this year is the 40th year I've been studying coral reefs.
And you grew up in Miami. You're from that area?
I did not. I actually grew up in the Northeast U.S.
Oh, okay.
And I came to Miami to go to grad school at the University of Miami Rosenstiel School, and I've been here ever since.
Gotcha. Okay, before we start talking about science and studies and things like that, can you just characterize for our listeners how much change you've seen in coral reefs since you first started paying attention to them way back when?
Well, it's actually been devastating. The first thing was the loss of the major branching corals around the Caribbean, what's known as elkhorn and staghorn coral. And there was a disease back in the late 1970s and that ran through the 1980s, was Caribbean-wide, and about 90% of all of those branching corals succumbed to that disease within a decade. And those were the most conspicuous reef organisms of the day. They were the most abundant, the most plentiful, they covered the most area, they were the framework-building species on many reefs, and to lose 90-plus percent of them in a decade was mind-blowing, to put it mildly. And the before and after pictures, you know, resemble war zones. And the other 50% of the corals that remained were the large boulder corals, the head corals, the larger, more massive building corals. And those corals seemed to be hanging on for a while, but then it seemed every decade with each successive warm event, with each successive bleaching event, with each successive disease event, those corals were knocked back more and more and more. And then recently, within the last decade, there have been devastating both mixture of bleaching and disease events that have really knocked those corals back. So now you first lose the branching corals, now you lose the other massive species, and reefs are just a shell of what they used to be 40 years ago. And that's Caribbean-wide, not just in Florida.
What exactly is coral bleaching? I mean, I basically described it. The water gets too hot. The organism inside the coral.
Right.
But characterize it for us a little more scientifically, if you would.
Right. You did a great job, actually. But a coral will bleach, meaning it will lose its zooxanthellae, which are those algal cells that live in the tissue of the coral. The coral will expel those algal cells whenever they're stressed. So that stress could be cold water stress, it could be warm water stress, in some cases it can be fresh water, and in some cases it can be pollutants. But what happens is usually when that stress is minimized, so if it's cold water, the water warms back up, the corals regain their zooxanthellae, they regain those algal cells, and they regain their color. And they do the same thing when they bleach because it's too warm. So if sea surface temperatures get too warm during the summertime for too long a period of time, coral gets stressed, it expels these algal cells, and then if it gets cooler in the fall, they usually regain those cells. If it stays too warm for too long a period of time, the corals can actually die outright from that bleaching event. And that's exactly what happened in the Great Barrier Reef between 2014 and 2016. There were back-to-back major bleaching events that were related to super warm temperatures along the Great Barrier Reef in Australia that caused them to bleach. And they were bleached for so long because the water temperatures were so hot that they actually died from the bleaching event. In Florida, during that same period of time, we had bleaching events as well due to warm water. But the temperatures regained, they got cooler in the fall, and as a result, the corals regained those algal cells. They regained their color. But because of that warm water stress, the host, the coral itself, basically could not fend off to other diseases. So bacteria that may normally be non-pathogenic to a coral, all of a sudden now, because the coral is stressed, this now becomes a virulent pathogen. And that's what happened in 2014 and 2015 along the Florida Reef Track. And immediately following the bleaching event, this disease called white plague disease, which is probably of bacterial origin, affected the corals, and then it started spreading through the population, and it has affected up to 21 or so species along the Florida Reef Track in the last 3 years, and that has resulted in about a 35% loss of the remaining corals that live on the Florida Reef Track.
I do want to get deeper into the white plague here in a bit, but I want to finish with coral bleaching just a little bit more. How do they regain those algal cells? Are there just a tiny percentage of them that stick around, or do they float around
exactly
in the water?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so there's just a little bit that lingers, and then they can then reproduce once the conditions are right.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Gotcha. And has bleaching always been around? Is just now become more frequent and more prevalent? Or is it something that's fairly new on the scene scientifically?
It's fairly new on the scene scientifically. And when I say that, I mean within the last 3 or 4 decades.
Gotcha.
The only known bleaching event that was recorded in the scientific literature pre-1980 were a couple events related to hurricanes where there were large freshwater events, large rainfall events, and the corals after the passage of the hurricane bleached because of freshwater runoff. And there was an example of that in the 1960s in Jamaica.
Gotcha.
But the idea of warm water bleaching, of this increased sea surface temperature causing coral bleaching, the first time that that was seen at all was once or twice in the very late 1970s, but then in earnest during an El Nino event in 1983. And in 83, there were some reefs along the Florida Reef Track that bleached, and there were publications that followed that talked about that bleaching event. That same year, reefs in the lower Caribbean, especially around Panama, died from that bleaching event. And it was an El Nino induced warm water event that triggered that bleaching event. And it was so hot for so long that in the Southern Caribbean, corals died. At the same time, reefs in the Eastern Pacific associated with that same El Nino in 1983 also died from that bleaching event. So it was the first time that there was an indication that this could be larger than just a small-scale process, that there could be some sort of regional or even global trigger to it. And then the next bleaching event occurred in 1987 along the Florida Reef Track. And at that time, most of the corals in Florida were bleached, but very few of them died. And then it happened again in the 90s, and then it occurred again in the 2000s, and it's now one of those things where we seem to be getting a bleaching event one in every 5 or 6 years. And when they do occur, they're usually stronger and they're more devastating than the one before.
And we're coming out of a 3-year event, right? Is that totally unprecedented?
That is totally unprecedented. And the folks that follow this stuff at NOAA, who follow this on a monthly and weekly basis, said that that was the longest continuous thermal anomaly globally that affected coral reefs. And when they compared that with the global temperature records, both land temperature records and sea surface temperatures, they happened to correspond with 3 of the 4 warmest years.
We appear to have lost Dr. Precht. We'll get him back on the line momentarily. You are listening to Gulf Coast Live here on WGCU. We're talking about the health of Florida's coral reefs during this part of the show. My guest is Dr. William Precht. He's a coral ecologist. We're learning about both coral bleaching and a disease called white plague that is causing massive damage to corals off of the coast of Florida. And as always, you are invited to join our conversation. Give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. And Dr. Precht, we have you back now on the phone, right?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that. I didn't know what happened.
Oh, that's okay. We're testing out some new technology here. We like to be on the cutting edge on Gulf Coast Live. So let's now pivot to the white plague disease. How long has it been on scientists' radar?
Well, white plague was first identified by a professor here in Florida, in the Florida Reef Track, back in the mid-1990s. And there were some major bleaching events that occurred in the Eastern Caribbean in 2005. But most specifically, this most recent event started in 2014, started in South Florida, and has basically moved and migrated its way through the Florida Reef Track over the last 3 years. And as I said before, it's affected over 20 species. And where it has gone through, where it has killed up to 35% of the living population of corals at those sites, at those reefs.
And am I correct in saying that you guys don't know exactly what causes it? You see the effects of it, but you're still unclear on exactly what causes it?
Yeah, well, what's happened is that there are multiple bacteria that are pathogenic to corals. And in the 1998 event that affected the Florida Reef Track, there were some folks at Florida International University that were able to actually isolate the specific bacterial pathogen responsible for that disease. However, the recent outbreak, that bacteria is not associated with this outbreak.
Hmm.
So what that's telling us is that there's probably more than one pathogenic bacteria that's responsible for this type of disease or this outward disease, these outward disease signs that basically are a white band that moves a couple millimeters a day across the living coral, and as it moves across the coral, it kills the living coral tissue in its wake.
And is this kills it in a permanent way? It's not like bleaching where it's knocking it back?
That's correct. It kills it permanently forever.
And so bleaching doesn't cause it, but it leaves corals susceptible, like when a human maybe is, when their immune system's down, there's something that wouldn't normally harm them that suddenly is very harmful to them. Is that a kind
That's
of a
exactly
proper analogy?
Correct. That's exactly right.
So how do you track it as a researcher?
Well, when this first started, my company had a monitoring program where we were monitoring reefs off of Miami, and we just happened to be monitoring these reefs on a biweekly basis during 2014. And during that summer, the corals bleached during that warm water event. And we were able to see that bleaching event move right through our monitoring coral, or the corals that we were monitoring. And the corals, when it got cooler in the fall, in October, they started to regain their color, and everything was looking fine. And then all of a sudden, in late October, this pathogen just
started like a brush fire and started moving through our sites. And basically we put together a team, a rapid response team, to try to follow the disease around. And in addition to the work that we were doing during our day job at work, we were also getting on boats and friends' boats and other research groups from other universities. And every weekend we were going out trying to follow this disease and track its spread through Florida. We basically did that for 2 years. So not just was it work that we were doing as part of our work, but it was sort of a labor of love or a passion that we were doing on weekends and holidays, even with our family members, to try to track this disease.
You know, as somebody who's visited those same reefs for decades, what was it like? What did it feel like when you first realized that this white plague, which you were probably familiar with from other parts of the world, was suddenly right there in your own backyard?
It's like getting punched in the stomach. And you feel like you're losing friends, which is kind of a bizarre thing, but a woman scientist friend of mine who works down in the Lower Keys, and she just was recently quoted in a newspaper article as saying that she has trouble sleeping at night because of what she's seen happen to these reefs that she loves so much. So it's, you know, people who study coral reefs have a passion for doing this. It's not just a job to us. It's what we do as a hobby. We love it. And when you see this happen to these reefs, knowing how fragile and how important they are, it really hurts.
Is there anything that can be done? I mean, it's a disease. Is there such a thing as a vaccine? I mean, what can be done other than hope that sea surface temperatures decrease?
Well, that's the first thing we have to do, is we have to get our hands around global warming and CO2 emissions. But that's at the political levels, way above what we're talking about today. Researchers, coral scientists, are trying to fight this battle every day, trying to come up with things, what's called phage therapy, where they basically use, if they can isolate the pathogen, then they can use that pathogen basically to inoculate other corals to try to knock the disease back. Then there's the use of potential antibiotics, and there's some ethical considerations here and some questions about widespread use in nature, not just experimental, but there's hope that maybe experimental antibiotic treatments can knock back these diseases, especially when they're bacterial in origin. There are other opportunities to use really what we would consider draconian methods, but they may have to be employed at some point, and that is similar techniques that are used presently in the citrus industry when they have diseases in trees, and that's culling trees around diseased trees to prevent the spread. And in this case, for this disease outbreak, it may be too late to do that, but for future outbreaks, that may be a strong consideration, again, with large ethical, you know, concerns and considerations, and obviously permitting requirements with the state agencies. But those are all different possibilities. And then, of course, there's restoration. And to replace what we're losing and replace those with potentially genetically resistant strains that are either resistant to bleaching, warming, or are resistant to actual diseases. And a lot of that work is going on right now in many coral reef scientists' laboratories. And hopefully we're getting to this place where eventually we will be able to use these very specific corals for restoration to replace those we're losing naturally.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the show. I want to thank my guest, Dr. William Precht, a coral reef ecologist and director of marine and coastal programs for Dial Cordy and Associates in Miami. Dr. Precht, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. We appreciate it.
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Julie Glenn takes the host seat for a conversation with the founder of the Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition after the coalition's event this morning that aimed to shed light on the nursing shortage here in Southwest Florida. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Stay with us.